The CBN have come out with a policy amongst many of those we first had the alterations, many called it, not redesigned, because people felt like there wasn't really any redesigning. We just had color alterations, many people say. But, well, for lack of a better term, or to put it how the CBN put it, we first had the redesigning of the Naira notes. Some of them, not all of them. And we had the 1,000 Naira note redesigned. We had the 200 Naira note, 500 Naira note redesigned. And I think we also had the 100 Naira note redesigned. And it caused a lot of concerns for Nigerians. Some liked it, some did not. And it was all over social media, of course, as you would expect. But that wasn't all. Most recently, there was also a position that was taken by the CBN to limit the amount of withdrawal an individual or a corporate organization can make in a week. And the major focus of people was for businesses, individuals, 100,000 at most for a week. That's the limit. And this has not gone well with a lot of people, including lawmakers, who spoke with the CBN Governor Godwin Emefiele. Well, yesterday, the CBN governor visited the president in Daura. After a meeting, he spoke with newsmen and had a few things to say about this policy. Prior to that time, the Nigeria Employers Consultative Association, NECA, the national body, the director general of the organization, had also expressed the concerns of NECA over the 100,000 Naira weekly withdrawal limit that was capped by the CBN governor and the CBN. Well, before we go deep into the conversation, I'd like you to listen to what was said by Godwin Emefiele while he was in Daura when he was asked about the position of the CBN on this policy. And remember, the members of the National Assembly are asking that this particular policy be suspended for now. Listen to Governor Emefiele.
The Senate of the Federal Republic is National Assembly. They are a legislative arm of the government, and from time to time, we brief them about what is happening, about our policies, and I'm aware that they have asked for some briefings, and we will brief them. But I think it's important for me to say that the cashless policy started in 2012, but at almost 3 to 4 occasions, we've had to step down the policy because we felt that there is a need for us to prepare ourselves and deepen our payment system infrastructure in Nigeria. Between 2012 and now 2022, almost or about 10 years, we believe that a lot of electronic channels have been put in place that would aid people in making banking, conducting banking and financial services transactions in Nigeria. We will be reviewing from time to time how this is working, because I cannot say that we are going to be rigid, but it is not to say that we will reverse. It is not to say that we will change timing, but whether it is about tweaking some amount to be a little bit higher or a little bit lower and all the rest of them, we will do so because we are humans. We want to make sure that we make life good for our people.
All right, we just heard Governor Emefiele, CBN governor. My guest at the moment, Dr. Paul Adama, Deputy Director, Nigeria Employers Consultative Association, NECA. You're welcome, Dr. Adama. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. It's my pleasure to be here.
So I understand you're supposed to have an event. Is there an event NECA has in the state today?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're here with us. You heard the CBN governor. You're pretty much aware of the policy because your organization had spoken about how it could affect businesses and individuals. But because you're here, we need you to give us more insight as to your perspective as an organization into this particular policy. So tell us first what your thought is. Some people have described this as more political than economical. Which way is NECA looking at it, and are there any benefits out of it?
Okay. First, let me just be straightforward. I'm going to speak less about whether it's political, but I'm going to look at it from the point of view of business survival and that of...
So economical it is for you now.
For
okay.
Me now. Okay. Are we ready for this policy? The answer is no, obviously. The truth is, the CBN mentioned they've been stepping down this policy for quite some
time. Since 2012, that was when it was first, cashless policy was first introduced.
Exactly. And then they thought about improving the payment channels infrastructure. But is that actually, the first thing to look at? I think there are other infrastructure that could drive this policy. Of course, in most parts of the world, cashless policy is taking center stage. It's very important, you know, especially even for us here in Nigeria, where we have a lot of liquidity. This cashless policy could be one of the ways we can resolve this. However, there are certain critical infrastructure that could drive these payment channels that have been developed by the CBN. And the truth is, yes, they've done this very well. Now, let's look at these three infrastructure first. Power. Okay, so typically you are saying you want the populace to focus more on transactions that are cashless in nature. Good. But do you have the facilities to drive this? So, for instance, electricity. How many of our citizens have the phones that are powered by electricity? And even if they do, in the rural areas, for instance, is it possible for them to have access to electricity? Some charge their phones once in a week or once in 3 days or 4 days in view of limited electricity. So for such individuals, you expect them to perform transactions. How do they do so? For the internet-enabled phones, of course, you need the right kind of internet to be able to run such transactions. So again, the question is, do we have strong internet connectivity in Nigeria as it stands? The answer is no. Even right now in the urban cities, when you want to perform cashless transactions, you usually have situations where you have to go to the bank to talk about reversals because the transactions did not pull through. Again, there's the security scare. Okay, so emergency makes it imperative for me to perform a transaction in the night, and I come out and the client is telling me, look, this thing is not pulling through. I have not received the alert, and I am insisting that I have done the transaction. From my end, it's showing that I've done so. And at the other end, the person is saying, no, it's not showing so. Again, we stand there and we start arguing. I'm looking at my left and the right, and I'm wondering whether I'll be attacked. So we don't have the right infrastructure to drive this policy now. And that's what the federal government should be looking at first.
If we are to wait for the right infrastructure, do you think we're ever going to get there? Because if from 2012 to now, you still feel we don't have the right infrastructure to implement a cashless policy. Whereas in other parts of the world, I'm sure when they started, adequate infrastructure was also not in place, but they had to learn while they make progress. If we are to wait for the right infrastructure, are we ever going to implement a cashless policy?
The truth is, we must have the right infrastructure. That is just the reality. You see, for you to drive this and drive it successfully, you don't just start it and then midway it stops, and then you go back to say, okay, let's look at where the challenges are and let's put the infrastructure in place. You have to put the infrastructure in place first, and then you now talk about how you can drive the policy.
But there will always be unforeseen circumstances.
Obviously.
No matter how well the plan is.
Obviously.
That would be an infrastructure not in place. That's what creates an unforeseen circumstance. So it means no matter how well the government would plan, there's a CBN plan, we might never ever really get all the infrastructure that is needed in place.
Okay, but let's have at least the basic infrastructure.
So what are the basic infrastructure?
I have talked about internet, I've talked about electricity, and the thing is, it doesn't cost so much to provide this. I just think the government needs to invest in this infrastructure. Just as you are putting a lot of pressure to drive the policy, put a lot of pressure to create the right infrastructure, and then you can drive the policy and you can implement it properly.
So you're saying in the country at the moment, we do not have adequate internet service?
Yes, we don't. Obviously, we don't. And that is why, like I said, you have a lot of complaints about failed transactions every now and then, and then you have to go to the bank to resolve these transactions.
Is there any other issue with the cap on the 100,000 naira weekly withdrawal limit that the CBN has placed? What and how would that affect businesses?
it will affect businesses. And in fact, it's about government's policy inconsistencies. Okay, so on one hand, the CBN is saying we want to empower entrepreneurs. We are giving them interest-free loans to start businesses. Mm-hmm. And you've given them the loans to start businesses. Some of them perform cash transactions in the course of their business. And then you are coming up with another policy to say, no, you have restriction as to the amount of cash you can transact with.
It's simply saying you cannot have this cash, more than this cash at hand over the counter, but you can do transactions beyond that amount using your bank app or your ATM card to do transfers and USSD codes, etc., etc. It didn't say that the only transaction you can do in a day is 100,000. 100,000 is just the amount of cash you can have. You can even deposit more than that. So when you look at it from that perspective, I would really want to understand for NECA's concern, because your statement from the director was that it affects businesses.
Yeah.
So how exactly would having 100,000 maximum as the cash you can have at hand affect businesses?
Okay, now let's say I'm into the agriculture business. Okay, so I have to go to the bush or the farms to buy produce, right? And there at the farm or the bush, you don't have internet, right? I must give cash. Not so. Otherwise, the produce will not be given to me.
In other words, you're saying it's possible that somebody could just in a day or two exhaust that limit.
Exactly.
And you still need cash to do other things.
And you still need more cash. So what we are saying in effect is, this is just one area. You have, I mean, like I've said, SMEs, MSMEs will be affected negatively by this policy. And again, like you said earlier, what exactly is the problem? I really do not like talking based on assumptions, but again, let's look at some assumptions. And I've read a lot of write-ups on this issue, and somebody said, okay, could it be that because of the forthcoming elections, the CBN is trying to prevent vote buy, and for that reason they are restricting as much cash that could be in circulation as possible. But the question is, when you are coming up with a policy, you don't have the majority to suffer the casualty. You are targeting a group of people, minority, just a number of persons. And you know these people. Why not come up with policies that will stop whatever you are thinking may happen if you have so much cash in circulation, rather than come up with policies that will affect the majority of the people? And that's what we are complaining about. Your policy is good. It's desirable. It's everywhere in the world. It's happening even in countries that are not as developed as ours. But we are saying we are not ready
those
for it right
who
now.
Who are not as developed as ours who have it? They have all the infrastructures in place.
Yes. Okay. Let me take Kenya, Zambia, Zimbabwe, for instance. In these countries, this cashless policy works and works very well. I mean, I've been to Zambia and I see how it's done. You don't go to the bank and you have so many people queuing to pick up cash, you know. But again, for the period of time I stayed in Zambia, there was no blackout.
And the internet was
good. So we are not saying there's going to be a perfect system, but we are saying start first by putting the right infrastructure in place and then come up with your policies.
All right, we're live on Facebook. Be a part of the conversation. You can watch, you can listen, you can also contribute online at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. Again, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. Let us know what you think about the withdrawal policy, limit policy of the CBN. More economical than political, or more political than economical? Let us know on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. You can also send in WhatsApp messages 0809-030-6416. That's the WhatsApp number. We'll take a few calls before we go on a short commercial. 0700-923-0923. My guest is the Deputy Director, Nigeria Employers Consultative Association. He has said basic infrastructure needed, internet and power. And it seems in the country we do might not have steady supply of both, in his opinion. What is yours? Let's find out. 0700-923-0923 is the number to call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
Morning. talk to us.
Yeah. Good morning for that guest in that studio. I heard what you said about the countries you visited and the stable power there. And everything is working well for them. The question over down here is that why will government have so fast to always know some policies that they know very well to favor them? Do you understand? And they are very slow in putting infrastructure in just mission of them. It's just something very, very bad in this country. And we don't know where we are heading. I think the Senate and the House of Reps should call this poll in order. That what they are doing is very, very wrong. If someone take example now, a bricklayer that is molding blocks, and you meet the bricklayer, say you need social bags of blocks, and you ask him, okay, give me some money. How much is it? 20,000 naira. Where will he? You know, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Apologies, I think you got interrupted there by the service provider. Well, Nigerian Info, good morning. And same thing with this one. Nigerian Info, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
you're welcome.
My name is Barnabas, calling from Port Harcourt.
Barnabas, you're welcome.
Yeah. Good morning to your guests over there. Good morning. I think we are not ending for this development. But yesterday, I tried to make it fast. And that transfer, actually, somebody got good for me. That transfer took me over 2 hours. They debit me, they want me to say banking transfer. Something of that nature. So, and again, the kind of business I do, against it, like going to the farm to buy get something. So that they have to come out and get the money. I mobilize my boys to go to places to buy something like this. It's just more or less something like this. But again, that 100,000 cannot even take me anywhere. And it's not something you can't go and buy something of it. And say somebody wants to do that. So I think the federal government should think of buying this because this is something that you need to even give Nigerians over 5 years a notice to say, this is what we are going to do so and so time. The issue of saying yesterday and telling us on 9th of January, that all years mature for this. They should have a rethink over it.
All right, thank you. He says they should have a rethink. What do you think about the withdrawal limit policy by the CBN? Is it more economical than political or more political than economical? Let's find out. At Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. We'll go on the short commercial now. When we return, conversation continues with my guest in the studio, Dr. Paul Adama, the Deputy Director of NECA. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back and we are live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Join the conversation. You can watch, listen, and most importantly, make your contribution online at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. Remember, we're still asking you what you think about the withdrawal limit policy of the CBN. It's 100,000 naira a week for individuals. Is it more economical than political? Is it more political than economical? Let us hear what your thought is at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. My guest, very much still with me in the studio, is the Deputy Director, Nigeria Employers Consultative Association, NECA, Dr. Paul Adama. You had said a few things about infrastructure, which has been what you hinged it on, and the internet and power has been the major platform for making your argument to say we are not ready yet for this. How then should we go about cashless policy at the moment? What would you then say we should carry on with?
Okay, Andrew, even before I talk about that, there's something that we are not looking at. oftentimes the Nigeria Employers Consultative Association has called on the government to look at the future of work and the kind of skill sets that will be needed in certain sectors of the economy. And now you are driving this cashless policy. Let's say that come January 9, it subsists. And what it means is that you get to banks and you will not find people you call cashiers and tellers anymore. Because if in the past they used to receive 50 million a day.
That's why they require more manpower.
Yes.
But now because it's lower, so you have to draw people out of work.
So many branches will close. And then you'll have lots of people who will lose their jobs. So what is the plan to engage these people who would lose their jobs? Because at the moment, the unemployment rate is 33% and counting. And then you are looking at a policy that will also kill existing jobs. So we're not looking at that. And for us, we feel at the moment, the government, yes, we know that sooner or later, these jobs will no longer be there. The cashiers, the tellers at the bank, you will no longer have such jobs. But again, you have to put the right mechanisms for a good transition. You have to create jobs that these individuals can transit from where they are now to somewhere better.
So how do you think this can be done? What mechanisms can be put in place? How?
Good. Now, we have also said to the government does not create jobs, right? The government cannot create jobs, but the government can partner with the private sector to create jobs. You have to provide the right kind of environment for businesses to thrive. And at the moment, we are saying the environment is not enabling enough for businesses to thrive. And it's because of policies like these that you have businesses closing shop every now and then. So when you are at the point of creating a policy, do you consult with the private sector, for instance? Because, again, the recipients of this policy are the employers.
This particular conversation also came up when the Naira notes were redesigned. Members of the House majorly felt like they should have been in the know, had a conversation, debated about it, and decided whether or not it's something that was fit for. Now, with this particular new policy that puts a cap on how much we can withdraw, it also puts a cap on the denomination that we can have in ATMs.
Yeah.
How that also affects business, perhaps you tell us. But you're saying that these decisions were taken and NECA, amongst other private sector financial institutions, were not consulted?
For the private sector employers, we were not consulted. The design of the currency, we were not consulted. Now you're coming up with guidelines, we were also not consulted. And that creates a gap. Because like I said, we are the recipients. So you are creating a policy for people and the people are not consulted. One, you have not even sensitized the people.
People say this would tackle inflation to some extent. Do you agree?
I agree. Absolutely. Like how? I said, we have excess of cash in circulation. That's why the CBN said what they have in bank is not in tandem.
80% of it is outside the vault.
Exactly. So you have so much in circulation. And that is obviously why you
is
have...
Is that what causes inflation?
I mean, not
because the
absolutely.
Popular mantra is we don't produce. Hence, we would have inflation.
Yes.
Because and people would add prices for when they import and all of those and would have inflation. So why is it now, what's the conversation now more about the amount of cash in circulation is why we have inflation in the country or why the Naira is falling as against the dollar?
That is not correct. It is not because you have so much in circulation. That is why you have rising inflation. The issue of inflation is a global one. And we've over time mentioned some of the things that drive inflation. Yes, excess liquidity can drive inflation to an extent. And it is from that perspective that the CBN is saying this cashless policy may reduce inflation. But not that it will take away inflation in the real sense of it. So what the CBN is saying that For instance, you talked about the 200 naira denomination, they intend
which
to
should be the highest in ATMs.
Yes, they intend to circulate. And I see the sense in the CBN saying, okay, let's just start with 200.
What's so the that sense?
The sense is, let's have just very little cash in circulation. Perhaps because there will be increase in demand, it will also affect the issue of...
So why do you spend money redesigning a 500 naira note if you're not going to put them in the ATMs and you're only going to limit it to people who get over to the counter? That's what it would mean.
Yeah.
You would have just left those notes as old notes and just focused on redesigning the 200 naira notes downwards. Because think about it, we don't even use 5 naira too often in this country.
Yeah.
I don't know what costs 5 naira now. So... how does this policy really, you should make us understand, you're from NECA, how does this policy really now, if we are going from what you've said with regards to the 200 and the sense in it, as I'm thinking, where is the sense in it?
Okay, now, we were also concerned about why circulate 200? What has happened to the 500, the 1,000? And, of course, experts have said, well, in developed economies and developing economies, you don't have the big denominations out there in circulation. You have the smaller ones, and so that it can drive the demand, because when you have reduced supply, the demand will be up. Again, we feel that, yes, you know, the layman would say, why produce, why...
I'm speaking for the layman now because I'm a layman as well.
So
why redesign a 1,000 naira note and 500 naira notes?
But the question...
if you are not going to circulate it...
The question is, yes, the design has been done, but what about production? As the CBN said, they've produced 1,000 naira notes.
The CBN governor said that the money has been disbursed to various financial institutions across the country, waiting for distribution to the consumers, the Nigerians who would be using that the new currency.
Yeah.
But my question is, even if we say that the redesign was to, you know, for whatever reason, which I don't still know, Trump was said to mop up cash, but then you have this policy, which you say is also to mop up cash.
Yeah.
So... why spend the money that the CBN already has spent in redesigning? We'll come back to that. Let's go to the phone lines and get some thoughts of our listener. 0700923-0923. I'll take that again. 0700923-0923. That is the phone number to call on WhatsApp. 0809-0306-416. Nigerian folk, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
You're welcome.
I'm Ogo Ajana Justice.
Okay.
You asked if the 1,000 naira is not going to be in circulation, why redesigning? There is what we call currency security. The CBN have come to understand that there is so much money in the custody of so many people, which is not in circulation. And they need to redesign the new one that is considered to render the former one useless. That is one. Secondly, when Nigerians are complaining about policy that will better the economy, it is somehow in my thinking, because we are fast to compare Nigeria to developed countries, but every step toward development, Nigeria complains. They talk about BVN, all of us shouted at 674. They talk about NIM, all of us shouted. What a country! If we say Nigeria is not developing, we complain, but we are enjoying it. We come to the radio station to speak in favor of something that will bring down development.
But
I don't know which way.
Dr. Dennis?
Give us more time. Hello?
Yes, if you can hear me. But then the conversation really
is... more time. There should be more sensitization. There is rural this. There is rural that. All this complaint does not hold any water. Because a situation that people both with huge amount of money in Napa will be demanding for 100 million because they know there is cash available to pay. If kidnappers know that you cannot get up to 20,000, they can't make such a demand.
So,
because it was a lucrative to them.
Okay.
Let's talk about accepting some certain things for the future of the nation.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, for what he said now, for the kidnappers angle, it also brings the question, like you said, infrastructure. Do we have our security personnel properly equipped? Do we have good information gathering to ensure that, okay, the country is safer than it is now, so that, well, when you have these sort of policies, well, we don't have people being kidnapped, and then because these kidnappers might not even know that this is a new policy and it's difficult for the person to get the money, you tell them no and they tell you you don't want to bring the money, they kill your loved one, then becomes another problem altogether. It would always have pros and cons. We understand that that would always be there. But from your position, the infrastructure should be put in place. I'll take another call first, and then we come back to you. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Good morning, the very distinguished Ifemi Andrade in this morning.
Fantastic. Good morning. Go on.
Yes, sir.
Your name?
A very fantastic weekend. Sarimen Temple, okay.
All right. Talk to us.
The very distinguished Ifemi, if we must tell ourselves the truth this morning, as far as this policy is concerned, it will never affect the politicians. When the CDN governor tell me that this will curtail the SSC of vote by, the last time I check, how many of these politicians go to POS to withdraw money? How many, even sometimes, some of them even have what I call mini bank in their houses? Just for instance, will somebody tell me authoritatively and with full assurance that this policy will affect people like Tinubu? Will this policy affect them? The answer is no. But for me, I want to tell them, before they put such kind of policies on ground, they should make sure there is a working system already existing. You cannot put up something positive or nothing. It will not work. It will never stand. Neither, it will rather punish the people the more. You talk about POS, which is one of the fastest growing small business enterprise within the context of our rural communities now. Then he tell the POS agent that the only thing he can withdraw is 100,000 naira. Are you trying to go business or you want to sell property at the end of the day? He wants to keep there. And this is no need. He goes to the bank. The so please, they should help us on this regard. And that is enough. This has been good for us. This is what please.
All right, thank you very much, Temple. Raised very valid point, but then I think that's your correct impression. We don't appreciate you mentioning names of any politician or anybody to say, oh, how would it affect them? I don't know what you mean by how it would affect them, but I'm pretty sure there are other people like the Atiku Abubakars and the Peter Obis and you name them, other business people around this country and beyond who we should ask how it would affect them, because I don't know what you mean. That's the reason why I think you shouldn't be mentioning names of individuals unless you're categorically going to explain what your comment was really about. But then it brings us to the POS point you just raised. The CBN brought this scheme so it takes financial burden off banks and take it closer to the people. So for you don't need to overpopulate banks anymore to withdraw small amount of money. You can do that from a point of sale operator. But this is now a problem. If 100,000 becomes the limit, what it then means is, do we see a situation where POS operators now charge more per 1,000 naira you withdraw because they would have to make profit? And if 100,000 is the most they can withdraw in a week. I think for companies it's not 100,000. I don't know. I think it should be more than that. I think it was up to about 500.
500.
If 500 is the most that they can withdraw as a company in a week, then would we see a situation where they charge more per 1,000 naira you withdraw?
So that's why the governor of CBN said maybe the policy can be tweaked. The guidelines can be tweaked a bit to say, okay, could they increase a bit, perhaps even talk about, like you said, the charges. Could they reduce the charges to, attract a buy-in? These are possibilities. But, Andrew, again, you talked about kidnapping, and it's good to look at it. So if the assumption is that the cashless policy will reduce kidnapping because you have kidnappers not be able to have access to plenty of cash. The question is, does that not even create more problems where you have many kidnapped and you collect little? So if little is what I have to collect, so I have to kidnap so many. So that doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't at all. Kidnapping as a security challenge should be tackled head on. It has nothing to do with the cashless policy, and it's not proper for policymakers to gamble with the lives of people and to talk about policies in relation to security. It's not proper.
All right, Mr. Adama, let's take a few messages on Facebook as we attempt to wrap up this conversation. Chizunho Emmanuel says it wouldn't work. We already have enough problems as Nigerians. Sun from Leno Ekanya, how can this work well when the commercial banks are behaving as if it is an offense to use their service? For some banks, if you want to make a 5,000 naira transaction through USSD, you are charged 6 naira 98 kobo. Add that plus maybe 12 times or more times you do a transaction, he says. MC Eric says, with the high cost of things now, how does CBN come to the conclusion of 100,000 a week? Which is another question. What did they do? Is there like a survey that was carried out to assume how much was spent minimum by a Nigerian in a week? Or what's the expected amount of money a Nigerian can spend at most? And from there, they drop a conclusion to say 100,000 is what is fit.
That's why we said, right from the beginning, when they were thinking about these guidelines, should have consulted with the private sector, with civil society organizations. You come to a table and you discuss, these are the plans, and then you will have experts who will tell you, perhaps it would be best to run to carry out a survey first and see whether this is feasible or not. Not that you bring a policy and you throw it at the people and you expect the people to just jump in and accept it. That is the problem. One thing about policies in Nigeria is we have so many of them, but how many are we implementing successfully? So it's not just to be designing policies and policies and policies. What's the implementation strategy? So the implementation strategy could be discussed right from the beginning when you are coming up with these policies. And that is why you need a lot of consultation. That's why you need a lot of sensitization. And these have not been done. And so you cannot expect positive results from this kind of policy.
And it brings us to this. This message says you can't use the 500 and 1,000 naira notes you're holding when they've been redesigned, as would have been the case if CBN just decided to stop the circulation of some denominations. The policy can reduce inflation. Even in the USA, the inflation is also caused by excess printing of cash by the Federal Reserve. The problem with the CBN policy is just a banking system and infrastructure. If they can keep and not disappoint during transactions using their cards. Flat here from Port Harcourt. Very understood about this point you're making. But then it now brings us to the 500 and 1,000 naira notes that have been redesigned, which is still very much a question. The CBN said it had nothing to do with politics. It was more economical.
Yeah.
But then who are the people who would have the resources to hoard that amount of money?
Exactly.
Think about it. These monies were not taken from the bank. How do they handle the corruption that happens from contracts? Because that's where sometimes these people get these finances, awarding of contracts, signing of monies for certain, and then they move that money out from there. But the bank thinks the money is in the system because it goes through a contract that was signed.
Exactly.
But then it's in somebody's house otherwise. We don't have a lot of time. There's a lot to say. But then tell us in 10 seconds, NECA. People don't know. What exactly is NECA about?
Okay, NECA is the acronym for Nigeria Employers Consultative Association. It's the umbrella body of employers in the organized private sector of Nigeria. So typically what the unions are to their members is what NECA is to private sector employers. We protect, defend the rights and interests of businesses.
In this case, you have to do more and talk to the CBN. Thank you very much, Mr. Adama, for your time.
It's my
Deputy
pleasure.
Director NECA. My name is Ifeanyi Andrew. Hello, Port Harcourt is next. Thank you for being a part of the conversation. Wait for Jude.